The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Peter King today, in-depth, deep dive on the Cardinals and what the heck happened, the train wreck that is the Arizona Cardinals that were 5-2, they were 6-3, and now they're out of the playoffs, didn't even make the playoffs. The longest tenured team to not be in the postseason in the NFC, your Cardinals. Peter King will zoom on in with us. Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns. Have you noticed that the Suns are the Suns from, 11 years ago? They're in first place today. They are 6-2. They won last night. They shot great from three-point country. They take down Toronto, which they should do. They have a game tomorrow at Detroit. They should beat them. We'll visit with Al McCoy on what is going right, the Hall of Fame voice of the Phoenix Suns. That comes up on the show as well. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business, community, community, community. They're all about the Valley. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their partnership and their support. Obviously, yesterday I was bothered by what was transpiring in Washington, D.C. I think if any of you weren't paying attention to that yesterday, I would wonder why. It's not my place to get on your case. I would just say what happened yesterday is, if it's a buildup of all the anger and emotion and all that stuff and division, and it just spilled over yesterday, there are those that said, yeah, well, your business made a big deal out of it. Our business has a job to do, whether you like it or don't like it. That's the way it goes. So I was bothered yesterday. There was some sports stuff that was happening as the day progressed. People were pinging me about this and about that, and none of it really mattered. It just didn't in the grand scheme of things. But you turn the page, and I watched late last night till the certification happened, and then this morning a little bit, and, you know, sports is what it is. It is the world of fun and games. This is the escape from all the pressures, and so we're going to focus on sports for the rest of the show there. Let's go with the Suns first because, you know, Jay Crowder was kind of an afterthought throw-in name to a lot of fans when the Suns made that move. And I saw that there were NBA players saying, wow, what a great move. What a great move. What a great move by the Suns. And last night, he had 21. Devin Booker had his 24. And the Suns win and take care of business. Eight was the final margin, 123-115. That was the final margin. The game wasn't as close as that would indicate to me in watching it, taking it in. So today, put this down. The Suns are 6-2, right? Okay, so they're tied with the Lakers for the best record in the Western Conference. Tied with the Lakers. So the last time the Suns were a top division was 2009 at 8 games into the season. 8 games into the season, the last time they sat atop the division was 2009. I had hair back then. I was still at Channel 3 back then. This wasn't even a reality of doing Sports 360. And all these years later, here we are. So you have to make a big deal about it. I get it. There's going to be fans from other groups that are saying, oh, well, wait till they play LeBron. I hope they play them in the playoffs. I hope they make the playoffs. I hope they're just relevant even to talk about them playing in the playoffs because they were so far down. They're fun to watch. They just are. And here's the better thing. Remember when Devin Booker had his big game against the Celtics a few years back and everybody was like, oh, I forget, was it 70? I don't know, and I didn't care the night that it happened because you know what? They lost. And they were on a team that was going nowhere. And Devin Booker, to me, in watching him play, doesn't want to be on a lousy team just to say, hey, man, look at all my points. And then in our little community, and that's what Phoenix really is, in our little community, there are some in the media and some in the blog space like, oh, total disrespect, Devin Booker, not on the All-Star team, not this, not that. And it gets lots of social interaction. But they're not going to choose somebody who's on a losing, stinky team. You put up a lot of points on a bad team doesn't mean jack. So for him to be a part of a team, you watch. Just watch the recognition start to come in now. if they keep doing this. The thing is, when I'm watching the NBA, and I want to talk to Al about this, it is early in the season. The Suns are coming off of the bubble run, so they had a pretty good idea of what they were all about. But they added Chris Paul and they added Jay Crowder, so it's going to take time for this whole thing to come together. And so are there going to be teams that figure it out as the season progresses? I'll give you an example. Is Denver going to be in a sleepwalk when we get towards the playoffs? I tend to doubt it. Are the Lakers going to be just rolling through people without any opposition when we get late in the season? I seriously believe that will happen. So where are the Suns at in all this? Are they just a nice little story, off to a nice little start? And are they going to descend back to be a team that is seventh, eighth, as many thought, or just a team that's fighting to get in the postseason? I don't know, but I celebrate victories. I won't sit here and look for negative, negative, negative. If it's negative, you just call it out as we see it, like for the last 8 years. If you've noticed, those of you that have watched this show through the years, we're not doing the death clock anymore. You know, I would do the death clock. It's been 1,923 days, 5 weeks, 4 hours, 2 minutes since the Suns had a playoff game. May 27th, 2010, last time they had a playoff game. I'm not doing that anymore. If you're not going to sit there and if the team is not going to sit there and respond, then we have to pound on them to respond. That's sports. You guys deserve better than that. You're the ones putting down your money and your time. I've got to sit here and watch bad basketball every night. I don't want to see that crap. So I'm very excited about where they are. ASU tonight has a game, I think. I don't know. I can't tell you up until 8:30 tonight when the ball is in the air that it's going to happen against UCLA. Nothing surprises me anymore. UCLA had a game earlier this year. They're all good to go. And the referees tested positive and they have backup refs. So they're supposed to play UCLA tonight. I can only go that far, and I can only imagine that it will not be something pretty. Because they've been off for so long, and the shape, and just playing out on the floor, and did Bobby Hurley take a step back the last couple weeks and say, maybe I need to play Holland Woods a little bit more if Remy is going to be this or that? I don't know. Maybe he needs to go down his bench a bit more. Maybe it's just they needed a break. They're putting so much pressure on one another, and there's always the we really don't know behind the scenes how many players were positive. We don't know how many people really believe what's going on out there. We don't know any of that stuff with these basketball teams, these sports teams. We don't. So, you know, was there a psychological toll that was happening on this team too? I had a lot of people talk to me about the Dick Vitale interview we had earlier in the week. And if you missed it, it's up on the website. And people that want to go get his book, it's dickvitale.com. I want to get that in because he was great on ASU and all of his work with childhood pediatric cancer. Trevor Lawrence turned pro yesterday. What does that mean? Just means that Jacksonville is sitting there in great shape. And the top of the draft, you've got a tackle, you've got some quarterbacks. That will all change. I spent some time yesterday with Brock Purdy's father, just talking about the season. We actually got together and had breakfast for a couple hours. Really interesting just what Iowa State has done in that whole recruitment. So that's what's going on my mind. On the other side, we'll get into the NFL with Peter King. And what exactly happened to your Arizona Cardinals? And how is it that they didn't make the playoffs again? And what needs to happen here? And what's his view on the future of Fitz? And also the NFL playoff games. That's all straight ahead with Peter King and then the Hall of Famer Al McCoy. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now it's time to focus in on the Cardinals for one last time and also the playoffs this weekend. There's so many interesting stories with Peter King. We could do a long, long time, but we shan't. We will just get in and get out here. And I appreciate you being
with us. We shan't?
We shan't. You like that? The Peter King podcast. What do you have on your podcast this week, first and foremost?
I've got Alan Sills, the NFL's chief medical officer, not quite taking a victory lap over the NFL's making it through the season. But we also talked, because I recorded it post Kevin Stefanski. Yeah. And so we talked some about that. And Aditi Kinkabwala, the NFL Network reporter who covers the Browns and Steelers. And it's funny, I was going to do something different on the pod, but when this broke, I just started to think of, I really got to focus on this week. So a lot of Browns talk for all of your friends and all of your listeners and viewers and everything in the Valley. But it just, that is an amazing story. I know we're not going to talk about that exclusively, but you know, Brad, everyone's going to talk about Stefanski, who, by the way, has no idea where he got the COVID.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to talk about Stefanski, and they should, people should. But remember, Joel Bitonio, I voted him all pro left guard. And Joel Bitonio is a huge loss. The Cleveland Browns have to run the ball to be able to win in Pittsburgh on Sunday night. And without Bitonio, that's as big a loss, if not a bigger loss than losing Kevin Stefanski. So there you go.
How do you I'm going to just ask you a business journalism question for a lot of people who are interested in this. How do you balance this weekend when you have so many storylines, and just by reading Football Morning America on Monday, the story of what's going on with the Washington football team, with their coach and with their quarterback, Bruce Arians' line, "We're not playing against Dwayne Haskins," was great. So how do you balance all these storylines this weekend? Because you could go through every game and find one, but for you, how do you do it?
I think you have to think about what are people going to be talking about on Monday morning. I had no intention of writing anything about the Philadelphia Eagles in my column on Monday. And in fact, it was one of my longest columns of the year, and I did not want to write anymore after that whole Eagle thing happened in the fourth quarter of the game. But you have to understand, that's what people are going to be talking about on Monday morning. And so you just have to be as flexible as possible and understand that. I felt terrible. I had a 15-minute conversation with Jonathan Taylor of the Colts after he rushed for 253 yards. But at the end of the day, it seemed really sort of a non-story by midnight Sunday, unfortunately. And I got to apologize right here, John Taylor, I'm sorry. but I think the biggest thing is, Brad, there's going to be six games and an awful lot more than six storylines that come out of this weekend. So just continue to try to evolve and adjust and hope you can get enough of the stories that people are really interested in, so they'll read my column on Monday.
Peter King, Football Morning in America. You can find his column again, Football Morning in America. It is must read. It comes out early Monday morning and is when it drops every week. Okay, so if you're doing your Football Morning in America and you've got to do 10,000 words on the Arizona Cardinals, I'm just going to throw this up to you, just a softball, hit it out of the park if you want. What happened? 5-2 to not in the postseason, or as Buda Baker said, you know, we made some progress.
Well, I think it would be a combination of those two, because I think this is going to be a tough year for almost everybody in the NFL because of not having an off season. And just because Cliff Kingsbury was around for a second year, it doesn't mean that not having an off season was not a big deal. I think it was a big deal. And so I guess I would look at this in a number of ways. I think that your quarterback makes progress in fits and starts. And he had some games that obviously I thought he was terrific. And he had some games where I thought he threw a little bit too much horizontal. And it has become a thing in the NFL these days that you lengthen drives through ball possession, obviously, and you lengthen drives through the short passing game. Mm-hmm. And I do not blame in any way, shape, or form, Kyler Murray for when you're facing a heavy pass rush to just get rid of the ball, get it in the hands of your guys, and let them try to make plays. That's great. In my opinion, I don't think Kyler Murray should be averaging 7.1 yards per attempt. That is too low for a guy who's got a gifted arm and who's able by getting out of the pocket and being good and athletic, throwing on the run, it should not be a dink and dunk society. And again, I am not saying exclusively that's what it is. But what I am saying is that there are many games I watched this year where I said, air it out, buddy. You know, it's just, I was saying the same thing to Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Watching the game against Vegas, watching the first half against Buffalo. What is all of these dump offs, you know? And so I think that if there's any way in this offseason, you know, Cliff Kingsbury can both get it in his playbook and get it in his quarterback's head and in his own play calling head, we want to stretch the field a little bit more. I'll just say one other thing. I think as much as you love everything about the thought that this is an explosive offense, you know, I looked on Sunday, and the one thing I think that really sort of bothers me about this offense that I didn't think would happen this year is that there's only one time in the last nine games this year that Kyler Murray threw for over 300 yards. Mm-hmm. And there's too many good weapons. He is too good a thrower of the football to be basically having the kind of year that a pedestrian throwing quarterback would have. And that's the kind of year he had. That's what they got to work on this offseason.
I had the guys from Pro Football Focus on earlier in the week, and I know that you read them and see them, and,
yeah,
and they were right down the line with you and feeling like they didn't do enough with DeAndre Hopkins deep, and that there were too many times where, by example, in the Rams game, Jalen Ramsey is with DeAndre Hopkins, and there's just, you're just not doing enough with your offense. You're not being creative enough. That said, though, Larry Fitzgerald did not play, and I'll get to him in a minute. Christian Kirk did not play, and you're playing with you know, a backup quarterback, which Cliff has taken a ton of heat out here for not playing Brett Hundley, who beat Seattle last year in the season finale and didn't get one snap on the field.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Do you know why that is?
I don't. I know this. Brett and I are supposed to meet up. So, yeah, you know, I'll find out. Peter King with us, Football Morning in America. Okay, Fitz, so here's the numbers. Larry Fitzgerald, 117 catches behind Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice has said, I want Larry to break the record. This year, Fitz, career low in catches, 54, battled COVID, had some injuries. They pay him $11 million every year. Peter, does he keep going? You and I have this question. I think the last 8 years we have this question.
You know, he's played 17 years now. And he just had a year that, to put it nicely, is, you know, would be forgettable.
Yep.
And look, as much as, I mean, he has always told me, always, invariably, he's always said, I'm not breaking Jerry Rice's record. You know, it's unassailable, can't be broken. Coming into this year, I thought Larry had a decent chance to break it because, honestly, he needed to have two classic Larry Fitzgerald years to break it. But look at what just happened. Now, it'd be one thing if you say, geez, he only had 54 catches. But, hey, he only played 7 or 8 games. If you said that, he played 13 games. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, he didn't come close to a 100-yard game. I think his biggest yardage game was somewhere in the 60s. And look, you know, you have to accept the fact that after 17 years and at that point in his career, you know, there's no question unless I am missing something. And I've not talked to Larry this year, mm-hmm, so I can't give you much insight on it. But in your 17th year, if you catch 54 balls and your yards per catch is way down, I mean, does it get better next year? It could get better next year, but you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? And now you also have to ask yourself, could he catch Jerry Rice in 2 years? And does Cliff Kingsbury want that hanging around his neck? Because if Larry Fitzgerald plays, okay, he's not going to be a starting caliber player. You would think that they would try to continue the development, you know, of Kirk. And obviously, you know, you've got Hopkins as a great number one. And then you say, okay, what are they going to do with Andy Isabella? They might move on from him. You don't know. They got a good tight end in Arnold. I think they've got to be very much in the market for another receiver and a good receiver in the draft this year. I doubt looking at picking him with the 16th pick in the draft. There's too many other needs. But wide receiver has shown itself to be a very deep position in recent drafts. But as far as Larry goes, look, he's done too much for the franchise for you to put your arm around him and say, Larry, we're going to give you a gold watch. You got to get out of here.
Yeah.
But you do have to have a frank conversation with him and say, cap's going down this year, which I don't know if it will or not, but it looks like it will. Cap's going down this year. We've got to do X, Y, and Z for our team. You know, I don't know that we can pay you $11 million. We'd love to, but I don't know if we can pay you $11 million. Those are all the issues with Larry. The one thing I do know, Michael Bidwill loves him. Everybody in Arizona loves him. He told me a couple of years ago that, to me, he's always had the Jerome Bettis thing in him. Bettis never wanted to leave Pittsburgh because he thought that if you leave Pittsburgh and go somewhere else, not necessarily people forget about you, but, you know, you're not theirs anymore. You know, you have signed the divorce papers, and it wouldn't be that way with Larry if he went to play somewhere else for, let's say, a year or two. But I just don't sense he really wants to do that.
Yeah, and the name you mentioned off the air is Frank Gore. You know, if you're
– yeah.
You know, and I think that's very fair. The PR side of it out here, you know the Valley. You've been out here a ton. It's very close-knit. It's very, very, very close-knit. And if you're not winning, they don't gnash their teeth. They just kind of move on. If Larry were not brought back and he played somewhere else, it'd be akin to Steve Nash leaving the Suns, because when they do the Mount Rushmores, it's Larry and it's Steve Nash. And those are the two guys. And so I cannot see Michael having his team get beat up by fans over not letting Fitz. And in Larry's case, if he's going to come back next year, then it's pretty clear he's going after the record. Because after a season like this with the productivity, Peter, and I haven't talked to him either one-on-one, because in this Zoom world, you know, you're not going to jump in with 20 other reporters and actually get something. So, and he's now has ownership in the NBA team out here in the Suns. And I think behind the scenes, he got into that last February. What do you know? Chris Paul shows up here. I think Larry behind the scenes is doing some things to turn around a wretched franchise over there. So he's got other things going, as you know, and you just put it all together. To me, it feels like he's not coming back.
Every time I've talked to him, he has been so devoted to Arizona.
Yeah.
And, you know, he got very emotional with me on the phone a couple of years ago about John McCain. And that's why I think he plays in Arizona or he doesn't play. And if it is for another year, I'm not so sure he plays and he says, I'm breaking Jerry Rice. It's boom or bust. I'm out for it. I think he might just want to play for one more year because he loves football. Where else can you make $9, $10, $11 million to do something you love? And the other thing is, I think he is important for Kyler Murray. I think he's a really, really good guy to have on a team, a young team with a quarterback that might need a little guidance. And I think Kyler Murray might need a little guidance.
No, that's a good point. I'll let you go just off this. You're voting in for the Pro Football Hall of Fame still, correct?
Yes, I am.
Just in 30 seconds to a minute, how do you handle Peyton Manning's when they put him up there for you guys to talk? How does that work in the room for the fans? Because you have to have the guy, somebody has to present the guy and give the case to the guy. Does the guy stand up and you guys are just like, sit down? Nobody, I mean, it's Peyton, it's Charles Woodson.
The year that Joe Montana came up, whatever year it was, I don't know, 98, 99, whatever. And I might be wrong a little bit on this, but Ira Miller, who was presenting his case that year, just stood up and said, Joe Montana, and he sat down. And, you know, it'll probably be Mike Chappell who will do it. The weird thing is this year, though, we're doing it virtually. We're not meeting in person. So I don't know exactly how it'll go, but my feeling, Mike Chappell is the Indianapolis representative, and I'm sure he will do it. There is a Denver representative, Jeff Legwold, too, but I bet it'll be Mike Chappell who, if I were him, I would just say Peyton Manning, and that would be it, because there's some guy – every other guy this year, you got to talk about. Charles Woodson, you got to talk about. You got to talk about. But Peyton Manning, let's not waste anybody's time.
And Kent Summers would say Larry Fitzgerald in 5 years, and that would be it, right?
Basically. I would think something like that, you know, because, you know, he's going to get into the Hall of Fame unless some weird situation happens where there are five guys of the caliber of Tom Brady retiring in the same year, which there won't be. Of course he'll be in the first ballot, but you know, that's one other pet peeve I have, by the way, the first ballot thing. There's not a soul right now who remembers, other than the anger of some people like Terrell Owens for not getting in on a first ballot. Nobody remembers who's the first ballot, who's the sixth ballot. You're in the Hall of Fame. You're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I appreciate your extra time today, Peter. Thank you. Stay well. Stay safe.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Brad. Have a great day.
You as well. There's Peter King, Football Morning in America, and the Peter King podcast. Make sure you check it all out. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right. As I mentioned off the top, it is nice to have the Suns in first place. It's nice to have the Suns in first place this late into the season, even though you're saying, come on, Brad, don't sugarcoat it. It's only eight games. But you know what? They haven't been in first place after eight games since 2009. So you have to celebrate small victories. And the longtime voice, the Hall of Famer, Al McCoy, is with us for a few minutes after winning last night over Toronto, a three-game road trip starting at Detroit. As I said earlier, some very winnable games if this team plays up to their potential. First of all, Al, how are you? How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'm doing good, just like everybody else. It's kind of a day-to-day situation. Life is a little different than it was many years ago. But so far, I'm doing okay. And as you said, it's kind of fun watching the Suns win some basketball games.
What is it that you see that we don't see about this team, either on the court or off the court, that has you very optimistic, Al?
Well, I think they made some excellent moves during the off season to really turn this team around. I mean, obviously the addition of Chris Paul was paramount, but then the other moves that were made to make this ball club a team that has a lot of depth have been very effective. And I think we have to mention Coach Monty Williams. I think Coach Monty is definitely the right coach for this type of team, and it's a team that has responded under his coaching tactics. I don't think there's any question about it. They have improved every part of the game. They're able to score. Their defense right now probably is as good as any team in the NBA. So the moves they made during the offseason, the additions, and have just kind of come together and turned them into, I'd say, a very respectable NBA team.
The voice of the Suns, the Hall of Famer Al McCoy, with us for a few minutes. Suns 6-2. They are off today. They play at Detroit tomorrow. I'm really impressed with the second group that comes in. I know it's, and I'll get into Chris Paul a little bit later, but when Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton aren't on the court, this is no swipe at previous years, but previous years, there was just some empty jerseys out there, I think, for lack of a better term. This second group plays with energy, enthusiasm, hustle, like I've not seen out of a Suns team in a long, long time. A lot of that's coaching, but Al, can you talk about the guys that aren't the starters with all the glitz and the glamour?
Well, again, you make a strong point, because this second unit, or the bench, however you want to refer to those players, come in and really do the job. Again, I'll go back to Coach Monty Williams. I think he's been very effective the way he plays Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Of course, that unit that starts the game plays. Then, after the first part of the opening quarter, Paul will come out, and the middle periods, the second and third quarter, he has one of them on the floor with that second unit, either Booker or Paul. And then when it comes to fourth quarter time and the game is on the line, his starting unit is still fresh. His starting guards are pretty well rested. And then he comes in with both again, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and his starting unit. And that rotation has played well. The second unit, the bench, has been outstanding. And I think a number of reasons. The changes that they made during the offseason and the maturity of some of the players that they had last year. Cam Johnson has come off the bench and done a good job. Dario Saric, who showed up what he can do coming off the bench when they played in the bubble in Orlando, has done an excellent job. Cameron Payne, who maybe is the biggest surprise on this ball club, Brad. Here was a player that had come out of college, was kind of a mid-range draft pick, had been with three different teams and never really found a spot, wound up playing in China. But again, Coach Monty Williams knew him because they both were in Oklahoma City at the same time. So he brought him in for the games in Orlando. And Cameron Payne really responded. He's a tall, slim, 6'5 guard, left-hander. And even though he played well in the bubble, I think most of us felt well. That was just something that happened. He still doesn't have the background. He's never really played that well. But he has continued in these games when they start to count now, coming off the bench as the leader of that second group, and he's done an excellent job. So those few changes that I mentioned, Dario Saric, of course, Cameron Payne, you have to mention Cam Johnson, great shooter, have come in and really bolstered that second unit. And many times in these first eight games, they've been able to increase the lead because they've been able to out-challenge the second unit of the opposition. They're very important to the team, no question about it.
Suns are 6-2. They are tied with the Lakers for first place after eight games. It's their best start since 2009. They've not been atop a division since then. 11 years. Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame voice of the Suns, with us for a few minutes. Suns are on the road tomorrow. They play at Detroit. I remember standing with you a couple years ago on draft night, and we were talking. It was down behind the big exhibition area that they had where they were announcing the picks, and you said, you know, Ricky Rubio wouldn't be a bad pickup for this team. I'd kind of like to see that. Ricky Rubio came in. Chris Paul has come in. Where in the last few years to have Rubio here on one end to start to turn the ship around, in my opinion, and then get Chris Paul, the point guard play, Al, where is it at from your view in terms of, I don't know, the last 10 years, 12 years when they've been in this rut?
Well, obviously, Chris Paul, Devin Booker probably will be recognized as there's only one or two, you'd say, better backcourt tandems than those. And they will just continue to get better as they play together as this season goes along. Chris Paul's a winner. He knows how to play the game. He knows how to make teammates better. And it just takes so much pressure off Devin Booker that it makes his entire game better. And what we've seen in a lot of these wins is that Booker has not done a lot of scoring maybe in the first half, but with the game on the line and Chris Paul to set things up, he will hit some big, big shots. And as I said, it's opened up the talent of Devin Booker because we know he's an excellent passer. He can pass the basketball. He can set up his teammates, and he gets assists. And it just takes a lot of pressure off of him and opens up things for a lot of other of his teammates. An interesting thing is right now the Suns have seven players that are averaging in double figures. Now, Devin Booker isn't having those big, big offensive games that he had over the last couple of years because he doesn't have to, because right. He has other teammates that can score the basketball, and it's turned his game into a much more of a varied game. He's getting a lot of assists in games. He's better defensively. And speaking of defense, I think we have to talk about DeAndre Ayton, how he's improved his game defensively. He had 16 rebounds last night. So all of these things fall in place to make you a better team. And so far, the pieces have started to fit for the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, one thought on Booker. I remember when he had the huge game in Boston, and the Suns lost that game, and the Suns weren't going anywhere. And I said, it's great for him individually, but you're never going to get anywhere if you only have one guy that can, as to your point, you have seven players in double figures. Having a big night doesn't mean anything in the big scheme, which is let's get to the playoffs and let's win championships. And they really do have a roster now that where he doesn't have to carry the load. And from my view, that's paramount. In Ayton's case, Al, in Ayton's case, I was going to get to him in this vein. I think it's more the maturity thing that I see on the court. I don't know. You're there. I'm not. I can only watch. You're there. I'm not around the team a little bit, I'm sure, in this strange era. But what do you see in a maturity side of Ayton? Every player takes time after college.
Well, I think, again, the addition of Chris Paul has been very helpful for DeAndre Ayton because, as we know, Paul is the type of individual that wants to make his teammates better, that doesn't hesitate to get into their game and to encourage them to improve in certain areas. And, you know, the old story is to make a big man happy, get him a couple of nice, easy shots. Let him score a couple of nice, easy hoops early in the game, and then he's going to be much more involved. And that seems to be the case with DeAndre Ayton. He's playing better defense. He's rebounding, and they don't need to have him score 25, 30 points every game. But the other parts of the game are very, very important, and I think you can credit Chris Paul for some of that. And then, as you mentioned, just the maturity of DA. I kept telling people last year when Ayton was being criticized, he's just a kid. You have to realize he played 1 year at the University of Arizona and wasn't their starting center. He played mostly the five, and he's just a young kid. Give him a little chance to mature, and I think we're seeing that. And another thing we haven't touched on, Brad, which, as we know, is so important in the game today, is three-point shooting. If you don't have three-point shooters on your NBA team this year, you're not going to win games. The Suns have three-point shooters. And last night, they shot better than 50% from three-point range. And that wins basketball games in the NBA these nights.
No, that's right. And Al, if you have a night where you're not hitting threes, it's the old saying, live by the three, die by the three. You don't want to be that team. You have to be able to run an offense, in my opinion, to go deep. Because you're going to have that night where you're 7 for 35 from three-point country. It's just the way the game is, from my view. And when you have those nights, do you run your offense? And because the defense of the team is so much better here in the early going than what we've seen in the past, you're not in a scoring fest. You don't need to get to 115 or 120 to win games with this team. So, you know, I think it just all rolls together.
Well, you're absolutely right. And one point, and I mentioned this on a broadcast the other night, the Suns are playing on both ends of the court now. There wasn't a big training camp for the NBA, not a big preseason. So a lot of teams are still struggling a little bit to get in the groove on both ends of the floor. The Suns are coming off the play in the bubble, where they were undefeated in those games in Orlando, are playing both ends. And it's been a while since we've been able to say, you know, the Suns are a pretty good defensive team. But right now we're seeing that. We're seeing the ability to score the basketball offensively, but we're also seeing them able to stop teams defensively, and I think that's where they have the edge on a number of the teams early in the season, playing on both ends and doing a good job.
Last time you and I went in depth, I'll let you go off of this. We're talking with Al McCoy, the Hall of Fame voice of the Suns. Suns at 6-2, they play Detroit tomorrow night. The last time we talked, you had great praise for Monty Williams and what you've seen out of him as a coach, and obviously Paul Westphal passing away last weekend. A lot has been said. A lot has been written. My own Paul story, as I go back to eighth grade, he was my basketball coach at Oak Bridge outside of Santee and Jamul and Santa Isabel in San Diego with Bill Westphal. They ran a basketball camp. That was my first dealings with him.
Right.
And then from your end, what hasn't been said that you think needs to be said, or what hasn't been written that you think needs to be written about Paul? Because everybody's had their own story here in the last 5 days.
Well, I think just about everything has been said. Paul was such a great person, a great player, a great friend. But I think the line that Paul Westphal is not going to be remembered as just a great basketball player. He's going to be remembered the way he lived his life and the way he treated other people. And that just about says it all. He was one of a kind. He'll be missed. And as long as there's the Phoenix Suns, the history of the Suns will always include Paul Westphal.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Good to hear your voice. Stay safe.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year to you and yours, Brad. Appreciate it. Nice to visit with you.
There is the Hall of Fame voice, Al McCoy. The Suns off to a 6-2 start. They play Detroit tomorrow night. And we're back with more after this timeout.